This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So as you were talking about J.M. Barrie, the author of Peter Pan, Sir James Matthew Barrie, guy born in 1860, living to the ripe old age of 77, which is today like living to like 110, isn't it?
Yes, I think it probably is.
Okay. Well, it's fascinating about how all these things happen and how reality has changed. And if we're talking about folklore, we go back to the original novel from Bram Stoker, Dracula, which was basically written mostly as a bunch of letters or diary entries that were put together to tell the story of this vampire. But we did see that presentation in later films. But if you look at the novel Dracula, and I read it years ago, it has only a passing resemblance to the Dracula from Universal Pictures with Bela Lugosi. You know, when Hollywood gets their hands on a property, they have every right, because that's the way these contracts are written, to do whatever they want with it.
Yes, unfortunately. And that's why part of my mission, if you like, in my blog and in the books is to try to pull people back to the authentic, the original tradition, and show them that fairy with a capital F, fairy land and the world inhabited by fairies is a much more complex and often a much darker kind of environment than a lot of modern fairy stories and a lot of dramatizations of those stories would give people to believe. What we've been fed through Disney and so on is has really diverged quite radically from the way, let's say, Shakespeare would have imagined it.
Also, looking at the description, it sounds like we're going to a parallel universe, a multiverse.
Yes, I think that's a good way of trying to conceptualize it. That the British tradition is that the fairies are living alongside us, and one of we were talking earlier about avoiding using personal names for fairies, so quite a lot of euphemisms were adopted, and good neighbours is one of the terms that was very popular in the past. But that, besides sort of not calling them what they are, it also gives you this idea that they are living alongside us. They're living in parallel with us. They occupy parts of our visible reality, but then the world, the fairy, is at the same time separate. And that's quite often in the older stories imagined as being maybe that they live underground, you know, whether that's reached under a hill or whether it's you go down a tunnel that you find in a riverbank or something. But there is we were talking towards the start about, you know, how old these stories are, and there is a British story, an English story from the 1100s, I think it is, about it's called The Green Children of Woolpit, and Woolpit is a village in Suffolk in the east of England, and these two green children turned up one day during harvest in the early 1100s, and their story was that they'd been wandering around in their home country, which was a kind of twilight land, and they had heard sounds and they'd followed the sounds, and then it had got brighter and brighter and brighter, and they came out into our world, and then were just sort of stunned by the brightness of the sun and the noise and so on, and as a result of that were captured by people working in the fields. But their description was very much of a land similar to what we know on the Earth's surface, but it was somehow beneath it, somehow parallel to it in some way. And that's a very, very constant motif that you get through British folklore, that some people are able to find a way into fairy, and some people can in fact come and go from fairy in certain circumstances, but it's a kind of separate world to ours. They can quite regularly come into our world, partly to steal things from humans and partly to interact with humans, and sometimes they will take humans back into their world, but they could, if they wanted to, live almost entirely separate from us, without having to make any physical contact with us if they chose to.
So taking us back into their world, that sounds like a UFO abduction.
Yeah, so that's a very strong parallel between those two kinds of tradition. That certainly in British fairy tradition, taking humans is just one of the things that they do. They may take adult women in order to have children with them. They may take adult women who have maybe just given birth in order to have a wet nurse for a fairy child. They may take humans, both adults and children, just to use them as slaves. And you know, as we were saying, that there is a tendency to sanitize our image of fairy, but the older view of fairy was really quite cruel, really. I think the fairy attitude to humans is to a large extent to view them as livestock, if you like, and you know, we're useful to them, and they'll take us into their world when they need certain things done, you know. So people will be taken to be servants, to wait upon fairies at banquets and to cook food and that kind of thing. They've got a pretty utilitarian and a pretty unforgiving attitude to humans, I'm afraid. And certainly you could parallel that with the sort of stories of sexual abductions of people by aliens.
Well, let's look at that here. If we're saying that a fairy can mate with a human, that means they have to be genetically similar enough for that to take, unless they have a technology that we don't understand. But that's the first assumption I'm making. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean, I did a book last year, I think it was, called The Fairy Life Cycle, and that was very consciously I decided to sit down and just look at all the evidence we have from the various stories about fairy anatomy, and most of the evidence suggests that they are very like us indeed. They're probably not immortal, but they are much longer lived than humans. But otherwise, you know, they need to eat and drink exactly as we do, and they can, in certain circumstances, be killed with violence.
We have John Cruise, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. We're talking about The reality of fairies? You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That's an interesting question here, John. If a fairy mates with a human, obviously they have to be genetically compatible. If that happens, is the hybrid, quote-unquote, the spawn of a fairy and a human, are they therefore taller than the normal fairy? In other words, they inherit more human-like characteristics?
Yeah, it is a very interesting subject. That I was going to say just previously that one of the leading British authorities, a woman called Catherine Briggs, she made the analogy between humans and fairies mating and horses and donkeys, and said, well, you know, they're closely enough related to be able to mate together and produce offspring, but at the same time they're not quite the same sort of species. As for the exact status of the children, that is a difficult area, because on the one hand, fairies don't seem to be particularly fertile, and they quite often, they rarely have children, and when they do have children, it does seem to be an area where there's quite a lot of medical problems, and they do very frequently have to call in human midwives to help with those births. And one very common story associated with midwives attending fairy births is that they will, once the baby has been born, they will be told to anoint the newborn with some sort of green ointment, and they're given the ointment to put on the baby, and the fairy parent at the same time says, well, don't get this in your eye. You can put it on the baby, but you're absolutely forbidden to put it on yourself. And of course, it does get in the midwife's eye. You know, she suddenly has an itch and she scratches the itch, and it gives her the second sight. It's she suddenly sees that she's not in a grand house, but she's actually in a hole in the ground, and what she thought were people that she'd never seen before were actually fairies. But what this story seems to indicate is that there's something genetic, but there's also something physical has to be done almost to turn you into a fairy, that the newborn child hasn't necessarily got all those magical qualities or powers that the fairy adult has, and something has to be done to them to give them that extra fairy quality, which is quite an odd idea. It's something where we don't really understand exactly what's going on, but it almost kind of indicates that, you know, when the baby is born, it's almost the same as a human baby, and then something extra has to be applied to it to transfer it fully into the fairy world somehow.
It sounds to me like it's something that requires an external spell or technology or something to manipulate this child.
Yeah. I mean, there is some sort of magical process involved. But at the same time, I mean, we have got some evidence about what goes into the ointment. It's not anything particularly anything obscure. It's plants that you can find in the human world growing wild, and it's just a matter of sort of, you know, bashing them up and making them into a paste, and that would appear to be enough. So it's an area that we don't fully understand, but it appears to be a bit more surprising perhaps than we assumed, that we're not so different from them, really. And we can eat the same food, and equally, the other stories to do with this are about so-called changelings, where human children are stolen by the fairies and fairies are left in their place. So, you know, it cuts both ways, and fairies can come and live perfectly adequately in our world without it doing them any harm. And equally, you know, these stories would suggest that the fairies are quite keen for certain children of theirs to be looked after in human households, that they somehow see it as beneficial or advantageous for them.
You know, when you talk about this, I'm thinking of modern technology in our world, the 21st century, trying to look into this as something, at least for the sake of discussion, that's real. Okay, first thing, this paste substance that I guess converts them from a child to a fairy. It sounds like an herbal treatment, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of stories which kind of give us the herbs that you're looking for. With the right information and in the right spot, theoretically, it would be possible for somebody to pick the right plants and to create the green ointment today, and then find out what happens.
Okay, that's interesting here. Assuming this is correct as described, could we take that ointment, give it to a human, and have them gain magical qualities, or is there some genetic thing that they're missing?
I looked at the various stories when I was writing Fairy Life Cycle, and it does seem to suggest that it is, as you were saying, a kind of purely technical process, a purely physical process that you can apply the ointment to a human child, and as a result of that, they will have acquired some fairy qualities. So they're not innate by the sound of it. They are something which is applied after the birth has taken place, which is quite surprising, because we tend to assume that they are different from us, and it's to a certain extent an unbridgeable gap. But these stories imply that it's a much more permeable kind of barrier between the two dimensions, if you want.
Like a permanent portal, perhaps.
Yeah. For certain people, there is literally a kind of permanent portal, in the sense that I was talking about the midwives earlier, and there are people who can go backwards and forwards multiple times without any difficulties at all, though arguably that is allowed by the fairies because those individuals are advantageous to them, so they need the midwives to help with birth, so they let them go from the human world to the fairy world.
We've got John and Jean and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Some have given up, but others are trying to make it across the USA for Christmas, are pressing on. As of this morning, FlightAware counts nearly 1,200 canceled flights, more than 500 delayed. The storm-related death toll is now at least 16 across the country. Cold and wind stopped many first responders from responding. Nearly a million customers are still without power. But there is some light at the end of this snowy, windy, freezing tunnel, according to meteorologist Mark Chouinard at the National Weather Service.
Main impacts now are still seeing some lake effect snow, primarily
off of Lake Erie near Buffalo and then off of Lake Ontario. And it's still cold over a lot of the eastern part of the country, but not as extreme of cold as we saw yesterday and the day before.
And another weather system's gathering strength in the Pacific due to hit the coasts of Washington, Oregon, and California starting tomorrow. Rich Johnson, USA News.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You know, I'm thinking about this genetically, the similarity they could mate humans and fairies. So the fairy, it takes a genetic test, a DNA test, 23andMe, whatever it is, and it's examined. What would it show? Would it show a human or something weird?
I think it would show something that was very similar to a human, but there would be clear differences somewhere in the DNA. For example, you know, our DNA probably only gives us a maximum lifespan of 100 years or so, whereas it would seem the fairies can go on quite a few more centuries than that. So they do have differences. Maybe one way of thinking of them is somehow another branch on the human ape tree somehow. But at the very least, I suppose we could say that they have knowledge that we don't have, and that gives them access to powers that we don't have. So, you know, they can disappear, they can fly through the air without the need for wings. It's important to point out that they have capabilities that we don't have, but I don't think that they're a completely different species to modern humans. Yeah, possibly they branched off at some point a long time ago, and they have developed in parallel to us, but at the same time with distinct differences. But I'm starting probably going off on real speculations now, which is carrying me a long way away from anything I could get out of any of the British traditions I've read.
So when it comes to the changeling phenomena, I mean, you know, most of the stories that we have, you know, come from, you know, the human side of it, you know, the parents who think that their baby's a changeling and all the horrible things that they do to it to try to get the fairies to come and take it back and return their own child. Are there any stories from the other side, from, say, like a child that was kidnapped and then maybe comes back years later and say, hey, you know, I've been living with the fairies all these years?
Well, that does happen, yes. I mean, the changeling phenomenon is something which, as you say, does tend to be viewed very negatively because we have the human perspective of it, of children being abducted. I would say definitely that the fairies would put a completely different spin on it. And I was reading quite recently a Scottish case of a girl who was taken, and I think she spent 10, 15 years in Faerie, partly because she didn't have any close relatives left behind who made any particular effort to get her back. But eventually she did come back to live in the human world, and she'd acquired a lot of skills and a lot of knowledge from the time that she was living in Faerie, which were advantageous to her when she was back in the human world. You know, she was particularly good at rearing livestock. So lots of human men wanted to marry her because she was very good with the flock and with the herds and that kind of thing. There are advantages for the human child of being there. They can be very well looked after, and they can be given skills in husbandry, and they can be given skills as metal workers and that kind of thing. And the other way, from the fairy point of view, they see living with humans as being positive for certain members of their community. I mean, quite often human children are taken, but the changeling isn't a fairy child. It's quite often an elderly fairy who's substituted for the human infant. And they seem to be doing that because they reckon that humans are going to look after them well. You know, maybe an older, a less able, a sicker adult fairy kind of gets 24-hour care by being in a human household. So I suppose, again, you could look at it in quite a cynical way and say, well, the fairies can't be bothered to look after their geriatrics, so they give them to humans. But, you know, they, at the same time, they reckon that we do quite a good job of it, and they have the confidence in the human care to entrust their older people to us. So I think the fairies would argue that, yeah, well, we're you should look at it in a more positive light. You know, the child we take is looked after well and gains from it, and at the same time you are giving care and attention to a member of our community, and we appreciate that, so thank you very much. It's win-win from their point of view.
The one story that you referred to of the girl who had been taken away and then later came back, I read that, and she said that the fairy society, at least the one that she was involved with, was a matriarchal society. Yes. And that she had some problems with the human world when she came back because of that.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Probably, Gene, we should put it the other way around, and the human world had problems with her because she was, she was more independent thinking, and she knew what she wanted to do, and she wasn't going to be subject to, well, the property of a human husband. And that's a Scottish story, and there is quite a lot of evidence, certainly from Scotland, that the fairy queens were very common, and they were the main rulers of the fairy communities. It's not quite so clear in England and Wales, I don't think, as to the structure that we're dealing with. I suppose if you look at, say, Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, there's at least an equality between Titania and Oberon that suggests that she has equal power to him, if not more power than him. Though again, we're talking about names and terminology, and neither of those is a traditional British name at all. Titania is derived from the Greek Titans, and Oberon is ultimately a German name. They're immigrants, you might say, and maybe don't truly reflect British fairy society. I quite like the idea of them being a matriarchy. I find that quite appealing. That, yes, it's a parallel society, but it's not. Maybe it's kind of a negative of human society in a way.
It sounds like, and we'll get into this in the next segment, this practice, this culture, impacts those who are pagans in our society, and I've known a few. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that comparison in our next segment, exploring the legends of fairies with John Cruise, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the influences of the pagan religions and fairies, do you see the connection, John?
Yes, again, this is an area where the traditions are quite confused. There are lots of layers of Christian influence there, which have made it quite hard to discern what maybe the original views of fairies were. You know, there are one of the ideas of fairy origins is that they are some of the fallen angels, but equally alongside of that, you get stories of the fairies worrying about their salvation. Quite commonly from Scotland, you'll have incidents where a fairy will approach a Christian minister and ask if there's any mention of the fairies in the Bible. And then again, you know, you have in tradition stories which suggest a very strong antipathy to anything that is related to Christianity. So they don't, you know, the use of the symbol of the cross, or maybe even carrying around a page from the Bible or a page from the prayer book will be a protection against the malign influence of fairies. So it's got very muddled over the years. But one interesting theory from Cornwall and from Wales was that to explain who the fairies were, the kind of one Celtic idea, if you like, was that they are the spirits of the good pagans. So somehow they are spirits of the dead, and they're particularly spirits of the better druids and the better natured pagans from kind of pre-Christian times. So if you like that particular interpretation of their origins, then there is a very direct and clear link back to pre-Christian beliefs. But most of the time, I think if you look at fairy behaviour, you probably say that you couldn't find much of a trace of certainly of Christian morality, there's possibly not very much morality at all, really. Theirs is very much just kind of looking out for themselves and taking advantage of what they consider to be a weaker set of neighbours, in other words. Us, I think on the whole, they look fairly contemptuously at humans, and they don't seem to be held back by any concerns about right or wrong in any sense that we'd recognise it anyway. But it probably. Yeah, probably. I think simply because maybe pagan tradition is less strictly structured and less hierarchical, it's probably easier to fit the existence of fairy kind into that than it is into a more rigid Christian interpretation of the world.
Well, I liked what you said in one of your blogs about the idea that the fairies were part of the fallen angels, but were too slow and got shut out when the gates of hell shut, and then the gates of heaven shut, so they were caught in between, and you wrote that they were too good for hell, but too bad for heaven.
Yeah, I think that's particularly a kind of Highland Scottish idea, but it's and it quite nicely explains quite a few of the traits that we've been talking about. Yeah, so they find themselves they're not safe in heaven and they're not safe in hell, so they have to hide away from God and maybe from the devil as well in holes in the ground, and that that explains exactly why they live under hills. But I suspect a lot of those traditions are not particularly old traditions, that they're things that have grown out of Christian interpretations of older tradition. And even maybe before the Reformation, I'm not sure that the Catholic Church was quite so antipathetical towards fairies, or so worried about beliefs in fairies. You know, they had a more, a more generous view of the world around them, and they were prepared to believe that there were more forms of life, more spirits than perhaps later Christian belief, which maybe was more strictly tied to the exact word of the Bible, was prepared to acknowledge. The Reformation made this whole area a lot more kind of contentious, whereas before the Reformation, I think the Catholic Church was quite laid back about these sorts of things. It suddenly became much more difficult the Protestant churches had broken away and did take a much more text-based approach, and then the whole thing became sort of almost by accident quite controversial, I think.
Yes, you did have some references, and I suspect, like you said, that these came later on, that you could keep the good people at bay using quotes from verses from the Bible, or putting a crucifix on the door and things like that.
Yeah, that's now kind of one of the universal kind of remedies against fairy assaults. Almost any body of tradition that you look at, you'll find that using almost anything put in a cross shape, whether it's twigs of certain trees, or it's pins put into your clothing, or as I was saying earlier, maybe bits of Christian text or speaking certain prayers, all of those will be effective to guard you from the fairies. But at the same time, I think this, you know, you've got that kind of, you've got that Christian surface layer there, but then underneath you've got older protections which seem to have been kind of hijacked by the Christian faith in some way. So, you know, you make a cross out of elder wood or rowan wood, which suggests that, you know, there were previous protections which had nothing to do with the putting it into a cross shape, that there was something inherent in that substance, whether it's iron or whether it's part of a particular tree, which is really the effective thing, not the fact that you've fashioned a cross out of it.
Okay, but of course the cross is supposedly the way to ward off a vampire. The vampire comes to you, you take the cross, and the vampire cannot tolerate it. It becomes painful to the vampire. So that's one thing. It's also common in some Christian religious sects to think that UFOs are demonic, and by citing a Lord's Prayer, you stop the UFO occupants or demons from doing whatever they're going to do.
Yes, and I think that's a sign of, well, I suppose maybe it's partly a sign of our own insecurities, and it's also a sign of the fact that we are we're turning to we're lumping different phenomena together, perhaps, and it's trying to accommodate phenomena which don't really fit in with a Christian worldview into Christian ways of managing it, I suppose.
Hey, I suppose we're going to do this break and then come back with John, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.